Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to all across the Delaware Valley.
Ray, play the song. Play it. Play the song. Play it.
Thank you, Ray. What a weekend, man. Flipping the Celtics. The Sixers charred. Last two-thirds of the season. I'm just outrageous. And they just continue to win. Two more of the weekend. The Celtics lose. So they beat Portland, but they lose to Utah. And the Sixers have leapfrogged Boston for second place in the Eastern Conference. A huge development when we're talking about home court and a potential matchup with the Celtics in the second round. Sixers 48-22, Celtics 49-23. Sixers have just been on fire, rolling. Again, they've lost once, right? You know, over the last 10 games, they've only lost twice since the All-Star break. And they just continue to pile it up. We got a game tonight against Chicago. And now they look at the Bucks. We can look at the Bucks. The Bucks are only, Sixers only 2.5 out against Milwaukee. So, and they're playing just unbelievable basketball. Right? Just, you know, no letdowns. And the MVP, who we talked about it last week as he leapfrogged Jokic as the favorite to win the MVP. So much nonsense going on with that. He's just playing great ball. I mean, great ball. And I almost don't even want to get involved with the MVP, even though he obviously deserves it. He's obviously the MVP. He's playing just amazing basketball. He's playing incredible ball. He's playing great defense, rebounds, block shots. He's doing it all. I mean, he's just playing. He's amazing. What I saw was a crossing brawl, called him the cheat code. I mean, that's just what he's doing. I mean, he Friday night again was, it's just amazing watching him night in, night out. Watching him play basketball is an amazing treat. Just an absolute treat to watch him play the game. We were seeing, you know, utter greatness before our eyes. But, you know, Harden's playing well. He got the day off Sunday, right, Saturday. So we got the nice day off against Indiana. And he's playing terrific. Maxie back in the starting lineup has worked. So that's worked. So they're playing terrific ball. And this is what you need. You need them playing really good basketball over this stretch. We're now March 24th, man. We're getting there. We're getting there. And it's March 20th. We're getting there. We're getting close to it. So, you know, to get this home court would be such a big deal against Boston. Now, we all agree, right, that they match up better, Sixers match up better with Milwaukee than Boston. I mean, we obviously have seen that over the season, how it's played out. But you get them at home, 4 out of 7, I think Wells Fargo matters. I think that home court matters. I know, you know, home court and home field is nowadays isn't as big, but I think in this town, with this crowd, the way they respond to him, to them, and to Embiid and everybody else, I just think it works. I just like the fact that, you know, you got 4 games here. I think it's a big deal. I think they respond when you're looking at this team at home it just makes, to me, just, you know, a big deal. And who knows? Maybe he can leapfrog Milwaukee. Neither of those two teams are playing great basketball. Boston just 5-5 in their last 10. Milwaukee a little bit better, and they've kind of kept up with the Sixers. They're 7-3. So, but you're only 2.5 out, only 2 in the loss column. So, you know, I mean, you're right there. I'll settle for the 2 seed and be ecstatic with the 2 seed with Milwaukee having the 1 seed. I'm fine with that. Because I still think that you could beat Milwaukee in 7 and or 6 or whatever. But you could beat them without having home court. I think you need home court against Boston. I think it would help. So I'm thrilled. So today we celebrate the Stars today. I want to talk a lot of Sixers. I want to talk a lot about the Stars because the other star, by the way, in baseball, you know, it's funny. It's been a funny spring. We were down in Clearwater last week, Chunas and I. And, you know, we're talking, you know, we see the Phillies now. Trey Turner obviously is away at the World Baseball Classic, so we didn't get a chance to see him. But the whole world, the baseball world, saw him because he saves the USA bacon, and then he comes back against Cuba, and it's another bomb. It's the big grand slam, right? And then comes back against Cuba. It's another bomb. Having Trey Turner is going to be, you know, we talk about it, like, oh, it's great, going to be great to have him. I don't think that we even realize how great a ball player he is. I think, listen, you know, he played for the Dodgers, played for Washington, and everybody knows who he is, and you may know the back of the baseball card, or you want to say, but I don't think that we realize how great he is, right? Like, I think when you look at his raw power, his speed, his ability to make contact, that's going to provide incredible balance in this lineup and give you a legitimate leadoff guy who can swipe bags, who's going to hit for power. I mean, he's a legitimate 30-30 guy, man. Like, he's that kind of dude that is going to be a difference maker at the top of the order. And I think we're looking forward. I think we got a little taste of it in the World Baseball Classic, but I think we're going to be, you know, we're going to be excited by what we see in this season with Trey Turner. And it's about, you know, it's funny. Like, we are in this good moment and these good vibes. Like, you know, World Series to the, you know, MLS final to Super Bowl. And then I think the Sixers, man, the way they're playing, they got every chance to make a run and to make a run deep. I would be disappointed, I got to tell you, if they didn't get out of the second round, get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, I just, you got the vibe. They're just playing such good ball, and Embiid has really matured. And you look at him, what Embiid's doing, and he's playing winning basketball. He's even talking different. You know, the me, I think that's given away. I think he's become real. Like, he's in that mode of star, I'm a star veteran, and I'm winning. And I think that's what he is right now, which I think is a beautiful thing, an absolute beautiful thing. And I think we're in this era. You know, it's going to be a good spring between Sixers and Phillies getting underway. And ultimately, I know they lose C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And look, you know, I think he's a bit of a wild card, right? Like, you know, I mean, he was popping off on Twitter. He's popping. Oh, he expected to get paid. He didn't get paid. The Eagles offered him a decent amount, but he wants to go to Detroit. So it's a one-year kind of show-me deal. He'll go back into free agency, and he was disappointed with the market thought of him. You know, I just kind of think that they thought he is a little bit of a wild card, right? A little bit of, you know, can he, you know, Can he stay? And is he a guy that's going to go down a different road? And it's a shame because I really wanted him back, and I thought there was a place where he was coming back. But ultimately, knowing how this thing was playing out, losing Hargrave and CJ is a big deal, but I get to keep my cornerbacks. So I'll take solace in the free agency period knowing I'm keeping my quarterback, my cornerbacks. Knowing I got to sign the quarterback and I get to keep my corners. Because ultimately, you got Jordan Davis who's going to play a bigger role. You'll piecemeal at safety, right? Jalen Mills, who knows who comes back. You'll figure something out. You know, Howie, he'll show some patience and he'll plug the holes, just like he plugged the holes last year when the run defense by the trade deadline was leaking oil. Look what he did. He plugged the holes, right? He was able to do that. So I got all the faith in the world that Howie does the same thing. So I think, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. Knowing about, you know, patience, you got the draft, you'll have, you know, maybe a trade, maybe some free agents. And then again, you know, come camp, there's always things that gets done before the season starts. So I think that's kind of where we're at. Feel good. Can't wait to talk to you guys about Embiid, the Sixers, Trey Turner. It's going to be a fun Monday.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Let me hit the vault. Open it up there, Ray Ray.
You know, when we began opening this vault nearly 2 hours ago, we had no real idea what we'd find inside. As it turns out, we haven't found very much.
All right. So, obviously, big weekend of basketball. I don't know if people out there are paying attention. You know, kind of this March Madness thing a lot of people talking about. Some disappointment from folks around the area about the lack of Philadelphia representation.
No, since 1977.
Right, exactly.
You didn't have a team.
I know.
First time.
I'm thinking, why not pull some highlights from the good old days? From the days when Philadelphia is involved.
All right.
Now we're going to start way back.
All right, Ray, look at you.
We're going to start way back.
Okay.
And this is the ultimate bust out for you. I'm doing some reconnaissance back in the back of the vault, looking, trying to find something from way back. And I'm looking for the 1969 Temple NIT, anything from there, when they win the NIT, back when the NIT was a big deal.
Wow, you're not lying. The vault goes all the way back?
Whoa, the vault goes back further. I didn't find 1969. What I found was a recap and a video of the 1938 NIT, in which Temple wins the first National Invitational Tournament. And this is how the recap sounded on television.
National Invitation Intercollegiate Basketball Campaign comes to a climax in New York's Madison Square Garden as Temple University's Owls in dark uniforms meet Colorado U in the final. Temple, Eastern Sectional Champs, and Colorado, Rocky Mountain title holders battle for the national crown. Temple breaks the ice as Boyle gets free and shoves one in.
Wow, you're alive. The vault's timeless.
The referee calls a foul on Colorado, and Temple makes good a free throw.
It's so funny to watch.
Free throw.
I gotta send you the video.
The Temple offense drives into the scoring zone. Andy sinks one. Blizzard White, Colorado's All-American, gets free and scores a looping bank shot.
It's so funny, this shot. It's literally
a looping bank shot.
Rainbow.
Temple sharpshoots to victory by a 60-36 score for the national title.
That's wild. Oh, my God. I didn't realize we had archives like that in the vault.
I did not either. It was so funny to watch them shoot the basketball throughout that entire video. I have to send it to you because it's hysterical what they, the way they shot the basketball, the way they thought that they were doing something. It's nothing like what basketball looks like at all right now. But that was our well bust out. I did want to bring back some memories for the Penn audience amongst us.
Okay.
1979, the last time an Ivy League team went to the Final Four. Your Penn Quakers, this is how the open to their game against St. John's sounded.
Two nights ago, the Red Men of St. John's, the Quakers of Penn, continued their unexpected drive to the Final Four by knocking off Rutgers and Syracuse. Today, in the very backyard of the ACC teams they upset, the ACC Powers of Duke and North Carolina that they upset, St. John's and Penn will battle it out in the Eastern Regional Final. One team will finally adjust the glass slipper and become a surprising but invited guest next week in Salt Lake City. Hello, everybody. I'm Brian Gumbel. Welcome to the
Brian Gumbel Coliseum,
where today two surprises, this championship chase, will play for the right to represent the East. That's in game one of our doubleheader. In game two, Michigan State and Notre Dame will play for the Mideast crown. Both of them still expect to be playing at this point, so it's another big doubleheader. St. John's and Penn in the Cinderella Bowl, and then the depth of Notre Dame versus the magic of Irvin Johnson. All that coming up right here on NBC.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So
that, of course, was Bird Magic.
Yes. So while that's happening, the Philly angle at all of that is while Magic Johnson and Larry Bird are working their way to making history, there is the University of Penn working their Cinderella story to the Final Four. And this is how that one wrapped up and how Penn gets themselves past St. John's. And surprisingly, enjoyed the end of this game because I'm the geek here. I watched it. I watched the end of the game. So
I'm impressed, dude.
Here's a little bit of the end of this one.
As the 9th and 10th teams in the 10-team field of the NCAA Eastern Regionals have reached the finals and have given us a ball game that many of their fans will never forget. And Pennsylvania, up by 2, St. John's, by a whisker, 2 seconds, a chance to score.
Coy all the way down there on Ross. Here comes the ball.
Here goes the ball. It's up for 4. It's in a block, 2. Ross. The freshman, it's all over, and Pennsylvania goes on to Salt Lake City and will meet the winner of the game to be played in a few minutes between Michigan State and Notre Dame. Pennsylvania wins 64-62. Tony Price led them in the second half. St. John's didn't catch them until late in the second half, and Pennsylvania fought back. An outstanding game. The Eastern Regionals, a true Cinderella story.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, it's quite back there for the Penn Quakers. But nonetheless, it's certainly a sign of where the game was at that point, where you have Penn and St. John's at that time, before the Big East had taken off, before the Big East was around, in that regional final. And it was, again, some of the original Cinderella stories. But I think most people would agree the biggest Cinderella story that this city had in that era of basketball is that Villanova team. And I'm not talking about the ones that we've watched, the Jay Wright championship teams, but the original champion over there on the main line. So I've got for you a nice cut here of some highlights from Villanova taking down the Big East rival in Georgetown in the 1985 national championship.
These two teams have played each other twice this year. Villanova led both times at the half, but then Patrick Ewing and the Hoyas pulled it out. 52-50 in overtime and 57-50 when the rematch was staged in Landover.
Patrick Ewing got that tap. That ought to be Villanova ball.
It is so important against Georgetown not to let them get that early big lead. Villanova can tie the game at 20 this trip.
Just got to watch the trap. We're talking about a team with 3 seniors that have been in the wars a lot.
McLean with a spinning move is tied it at 20. Knacks having to help out inside. Jensen puts Villanova ahead at the 235 mark.
As we said at the top of the show, the clock will come in next year. I think that's a rule that needs to come in.
Shot clock.
Georgetown really needs
next year
possessions.
Yeah, because that league was, and you watched it. You heard, you know, it's keep away. It's not the game. Are you feeling?
He makes this one, then they need that third possession. Not a lot of time for 3 possessions.
And if he makes it, they can start the theme from Rocky in Philadelphia. Villanova has moved to the brink of capturing this championship by blazing away at 79% from the floor. That, an NCAA tournament record.
The key thing here for Villanova, one, they must get the ball inbounds within 5 seconds. That means it must touch a player from either team within 5 seconds. I think they've got to throw the ball up at least towards the half-court area. They cannot afford to throw that ball in under their own basket. Because with 2 seconds to go, Georgetown can get a piece of it and put it back up. Let's see if Raleigh Massimino tries to get the ball up court.
Great job on the call of fading out, kind of letting the moment take over, because you can hear the crowd noise in the background. Yeah, that was a fantastic job on his part of just kind of letting the moment breathe. But yeah, a lot happening in that game, obviously, that impacted the future of basketball, because you mentioned the keep away, and they were, broadcasters get disgusted with
listen,
it.
Listen, the game you watched, look how slow it was.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't even compare to today.
That's why high school level around here, they're talking about shot clocks. Because some teams, you know, if you don't have talent, you just keep away. All right, I had to bring in a little bit of the 21st century. St. Joe's, perfect season.
Did you get me Temple?
I have a 2001 Elite Eight run, if you would like, in there. You want a little Temple action? Let's get you some Temple action here.
Well, St. Joe's was before that, so you got the... You got the Jameer run? Is that what you got?
I got the Jameer run. I got Temple in 01, so we'll go chronological here. I'll give you some John Chaney, the last run, and the improbable run. If you remember 2000, the year that
Man, I miss him. I miss John.
So here's the 2001 run, the year after the year they were supposed to do.
John Chaney at the age of 69, taking another Temple team to the NCAA tournament. The Owls led by 19 at halftime, up to 20 at one time. Longhorns got as close as 9, but they never trailed in the game. The Temple Owls advance to the second round in New Orleans. Greer makes it 17. He is some kind of spook. Now seconds to go, and the Gators go down to the Temple Owls by 21.
10th control by the Temple Owls in the hands of the lefty, Lynn Greer.
John Chaney, 69 years of age. The quest continues for this very, very highly respected coach. Never in his career, 19 years at Temple, has he made it to the Final Four.
Plays it hard, plays it tough, and runs the show. Jerry Dunn and John Chaney congratulate each other on a job well done at center court. Now Bell fights through and picks up Lynn Greer, who pops for three. Got it.
He doesn't need much.
Nice penetration and pitch.
Wesby outside, got it for three.
That's their game.
No disgrace, though, with the career he's had. Just magnificent year in, year out, dominating the Atlantic 10. His personality such that so many good feelings about him.
So a lot of talk about
Chaney. I got to tell you, that's a sad one, man.
Yeah.
The one that stung the most was Duke.
Yeah, 88.
Meadowlands,
yep. That one, I mean, again, that was the team. When you look back now, and you can look back in retrospect, that was the team. You know, and plenty of those guys talked. I know Mike Vreeswijk will talk Chaney stories for days, but...
Yeah, dude, that was the one.
That was the team. That 88 team was the one that really... Really, they feel like should have been the championship team of the ones he had. So that it's tough pulling back those Chaney ones. I also got to say, I got problems. We find 1938 NIT in the vault. Some of these more recent things, I need some more Chaney stuff in the vault. So anyone with Chaney stuff, send it our way.
Careful. My man Dawood says, you know, you got to worry about Dick Tunis. Because Dick Tumas takes the vault seriously. You better sweep up after you left.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's what Dawood said.
The keys will be returned.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already lost my access to it. We were able to grab as much as we could, and we ran out before he locked us out again. Let's get that St. Joe's run in here. This Jameer, Delonte, and a lot of fun. I know my uncle works security for this.
I was just with Jameer on Friday.
Really?
At Parks.
I saw that. A little Parks Madness for you. How was he?
He's the best. He's awesome. Working in the Sixers now.
Fantastic. Well, here we go. Let's get you a little
Sixers
Jameer.
Front office. Yep.
St. Joe's will take on the Flames of Liberty.
The quick outlet to Delonte West. The guy just waits for it. They kick it over to Nelson, and he takes the jumper.
How about the spacing? Unbelievable. And what a hand by West at half court, not turning it over. And what a look to his backcourt partner. But then
in Buffalo, St. Joe's has now built it to a 22-point lead.
No mercy here, Greg.
Jim, it's going to be interesting to watch the matchups in this game because both teams have some problems. Who is John Lucas going to guard at one end of the floor, and then who's going to take Tony Allen the other? We'll watch that early on.
Joey Graham controls the tip back to John Lucas.
Here's the answer. Nelson will be on Lucas.
There it is.
Yes, it leads. Jumper. Terrific job by West.
Hawks 59. Cowboys 57. Under a minute to play. Both teams looking very tight right now. Way out. Lucas. Barley converges on him. Fadeaway jumper. He got it.
You know, if you leave Carroll, you know Nelson can find him.
25 seconds. Down one. They have no timeouts.
And taking too much time here is Oklahoma State.
15 seconds to go for the final four. Graham out high. He lost control, kicks it out. Lucas is shot. Yes! Three-pointer, 7 seconds left. Two-point lead.
Here comes Nelson. He's got the ball. You know he'll take it.
No timeout. They're not going to take it. Lucas caught the defending, and yes, rebound to Lucas. Oklahoma State's going to the Final Four.
Wow. That was painful. It. That was.
Painful.
It's a great run.
Still very.
Like, underrated run. That was a great run. LaSalle was a great run.
Funny you mention that.
Oh, yeah?
Sweet 16?
Yeah.
You got some time for some Southwest Philly floater?
We don't.
We don't?
Well, I'll tell you what. Save it. All right?
All right. I got
I guess you got Villanova, too. You can use it tomorrow because we got to take a quick TO. We got lots to get to. It's Cuz Radio. Good job on the vault, my man. You brought me back.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Ah, 11:51. Cuz Radio, shoot us off today. Ray Ray is in. So you said you watched the tournament with your buddies?
I did. Thursday, well,
what was the menu? Because we're doing the, tomorrow we got games tomorrow. We're doing the Field of 64 sports food.
Ooh. All right, well, this,
what did you guys have on the menu?
We had the typical pretzel chips. We didn't go too extravagant with it. They have a cheesesteak place around the corner, so we went and got cheesesteaks.
You got steaks?
Yeah. It was that little lull on Thursday where it's like 15 minutes where you have in between where they, you know, CBS has got to run news and all that stuff.
Right.
So you got that little lull. We
so
got
over there?
Ran, grabbed cheesesteaks.
Where are they at?
Fishtown.
Okay.
Down Fishtown. So went down to good old Joe's and grabbed ourselves a cheesesteak and enjoyed ourselves an afternoon, but I literally sat down at noon on that couch,
right,
and I stood up at midnight. It was beautiful.
And the only other snacks you had were potato chips and pretzels?
Yes.
Wow, like the hard, little hard pretzels?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you went bare bones.
We went bare bones. Yeah. The investment for me was more in the cold beverages than it was in the snacks.
Well, that's part of it.
You know, we're all trying to just watch the wallet, so you have to choose, pick or choose on
the investment. Yeah, that's part of it, bro.
Yeah, so.
No, I feel it.
It's a good time. Where are you leaning if you have to get yourself out there for a nice snack during these games? What's the go-to?
No, well, we got a whole, I'll run it
by. That's a tease for tomorrow.
We did a whole Field of 64 of these things.
All right,
we did a whole bunch of them. So I'll tell you, me and the Tunis, we did this, you know, it's all your typical, your one seeds were wings, cheesesteaks, hoagies, and pizza.
Okay, yeah. Cheesesteak's going pretty far for me.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Especially in that area. Like where I'm at, it's a very easy walk to get a nice cheesesteak. And that convenience for me is key. If I don't have to get in my car to do something, I'm not. I'm just going to walk. And that's the nice thing about city for me is where I just kind of, I'm snacking on what's around me.
All right. You got it, buddy. Let's go to Nikki. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nikki!
Gentlemen, how are you, man?
What's going on, my brother?
And have you ever heard of a town called Buena, New Jersey?
Buena. Is that, that was the Fairleigh Dickinson town?
No. That's somewhere southeast of Mulga Hill. I'm like in a.
Oh, Buena. Yeah, actually, I have. Because Anthony played football in near one of these towns, Buena. Okay. It sounds familiar. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something. I ran into some rural parts of Jersey. I didn't even know they existed.
Look, and like 15 minutes from Mulga. It's not like you're going, an hour late.
Yeah.
You're 15 minutes from Mulga.
We moved around there. I was like, what? There was one place. Oh, my God. I didn't know where I was. I thought I was like in Kentucky. It was wild.
Yeah. I just can't do comedy. Are you telling me this is the one comedy I got to do?
Nikki, listen to me. Now, you know when it comes to TV, I would never steer you wrong. All right?
That's why I'm asking you again. Right?
I got to tell you, I love that show. I love that show so much that, so we were watching as a family, right? Like we were watching the whole thing and we were watching it from the beginning, right? And, you know, like my wife and I went back because we didn't start the new season yet. And I'd rather watch that than the tournament.
Yeah, well, I get that because I didn't watch, you know what? I was on the couch a lot Saturday and Sunday and Formula One was on, so, you know, I had to watch qualifying and the race and all that. But in between, I was like, all right, I don't want to watch, like, a drama. It's too early. It's 11:30, 12 o'clock. What am I going to do with a drama? Like, there's so much sun coming in the house. I can't watch a serious drama with, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I listen, you're right. I can only do dramas at night.
Yeah, I need to pour a beverage.
I agree.
A couple cubes of ice and then get into the serious drama.
No, the beauty of Lasso is... Dude, it's just, you know, they go down there 30 minutes, and just good. They're sweet, and they're fun, and it's just, and they're funny. Like, it's just good stuff. And I'll tell you, the soccer thing works.
I'm a soccer fan. I don't have a problem with soccer. You know that.
No, I like it. It's all that. I love the show. I'm telling you, I can't get enough of it. I rewatched it. Like, I'm rewatching the whole first three seasons, whatever it was. Yeah.
All right. So when I called in talking to his, you know, the assistant producer, not Ray, but whoever was answering the phone for Ray, I was in between the update. So was the update stating that CJ refused a longer deal, more money from the Eagles to go to the Lions, or was that a different player?
No, that's CJ. No, he did. The Eagles tried to get him. They offered multi-years, 2 years. They offered him more money. And he said no because he wants to do a one-year show me and then try to cash in next year.
Money. Yeah. All right. Because I would have subtracted the Cox $10 million to get.
Yeah, I would have too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have too. But I don't think he wanted to come back. I think he was upset at I think he expected more. I think he, in his mind, was out of here. And I think that's kind of what happened with him. And he sounded, there's a bit of, I think, maturity issues with him.
Yeah, it sounded.
I like him.
Early on that he was like, you need to put the bag on the table.
He was out. Yeah.
Well, we're the team that did him the favor. We're the team that helped him showcase himself. Like, I don't understand why he didn't just take. Probably Howie didn't offer him 8.5 for one because it doesn't make sense for him. But anyway, let me go with the Embiid, man. It's the first time. Look, I've been on Embiid since day one, even when you were kind of playing with your little kid there, 2.5 for a little bit. But it's the first time in Embiid's history that he truly not only looks clearly as the MVP of the league, but his mental attitude, unlike all those other, you know, talking heads that said, his mental attitude and his focus, it looks like a Jordan or a Kobe, like, I'm going to carry you two rounds without a problem, no sweat, just get on my back.
Yeah, yeah. He's completely different right now.
He is. And, well, people, like, a couple people don't realize, who aren't watching him that much, he is much better out of a double team, even a single team. Like, if he doesn't like what he has, he has no problem giving up an assist. I think he's probably averaging more assists this year than any other year.
Yeah, well, he's getting, listen, they're blitzing him, right? So, and you can see what they're doing. They blitz him, and he's doing the right thing, getting rid of the basketball. Yeah, and he's been clean. Look at his turnovers. Like, he's not turning the ball over at a ridiculous rate. He's taking care of the basketball. He's playing smart ball. He's playing like mature game.
Also, the first time he's had at least 2 to 2.5, 3 complimentary players that he can trust and give them the ball on one-on-one isolation.
Yeah. When and Harden's playing great ball right now.
And Harden's playing great ball. And he knows Maxey, the kid. The kid just does nothing but ball. So, all right, boys. Have fun, Ray.
Good stuff, Nicky. Thanks, buddy. No, I mean, you look at how he's playing, and he's playing clean. He's playing with a, like, refined is his game. Like, his game is refined. Offensively, you know, listen, he's always been. What comes defensively, when he wants to play defense, there's no better rim protector in the league. None. All right? He'll board, he'll block shots, he'll do whatever. You know, some teams try to bring him out of the paint, so you want to try to keep him away from the basket because he'll recover and he'll protect the rim. So that's why teams want to try to get him to drift out and away from the rim. But you watch him play defense, like, and he's been killing it on that end of the floor.
And even when they have him drifting out of the paint, like you're mentioning, the way he recovers and the way he gets back and the way his second jump, because that first bounce, obviously NBA players, they could jump. But when you got that second bounce as quick as he does, where he gets down to the floor and back up for a guy his size, to be able to get back up like that, is incredible. Even when they try and drift him out, pull him out of the paint, his recovery time to get back, and then that second bounce when a guy might hit him with a fake or a guy might try and work around him, how do you get past that? It's incredible defensively, just the way he uses his athletic gifts, the way he studied the game, the way you can tell that he's refined, like you said, his defensive approach to stop guys at the rim.
Yeah, I think he's been busting on that side, and that wasn't always the case. Like, you know, want to go sometimesy on the defensive end, that's fair. But I particularly over this stretch, he's playing great ball, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's just playing great ball. He and you could see this isn't about. I'm sure he wants the MVP, of course. I mean, it's been something that's eluded him, so of course he wants it. But you can see, man, he's about trying to win. He's about trying to win. I just love what he's become. You know, he deserves all the accolades, man.
You want to hear a little from him?
Yeah, I do. And this is, again, you know, whether you believe or not is the question. Go ahead.
First of all, I ain't no bitch.
Hart behind his back to Embiid to the right of the lane. They double team Joel. Picks it up back to Hart. Hart's got 19 to lead the Sixers. Joel with it. 5 to shoot. Lopez and Giannis pursuing. 3 to shoot. Embiid fadeaway 3 and it's good. An improbable turning shot, but in. The crowd chanting defense. James to Joel. Joel at the top of the key. Fakes on Lopez. He's still working. He goes back to Hart. And now Hart on the drive. Back to Joel. 3-point shot. Embiid dribbles. Fires from out front. It's good. He made it. The Sixers take the lead. 127-125. Embiid with his second three in the game.
Steal by Embiid. He's got Melton, but he keeps it himself. And he knows Turner can't foul him, so he goes right at him and gets a layup. Joel Embiid with a steal and a court-length drive right down the paint. Melton is trapped. He throws it across to D'Anthony. Melton throws it to Embiid, and Embiid is going to get a dunk. They got a little tap-heavy with their pressure. Nobody was back, and once the Sixers got it out of the trap, they got it down to Embiid, and he dunked it. The Sixers have taken control here in the second quarter after trailing by 3 after 1. They've outscored them by 15 in the second. 3 seconds to shoot. Step back 3 by Embiid. It's good! Joel Embiid for 3! And the Sixers lead by 15. 6 seconds to go. Shake is in for Maxey. Sixers by 17. Shake feeds Embiid. Joel makes another spin. Goes in on Reed. Left hand layup. Good! And a foul! He knows Naz Reed cannot guard. Joel down low with a spin and a powerful right hand jam.
Left elbow. Up fake.
Mobley doesn't bite. Second pump fake. He'll just shoot it, and he makes it. Embiid quiets the crowd for a moment.
The ball goes in. Embiid has it against Nurkic. 5 seconds. Embiid making the move. Into the lane. Spins. Hangs. Fire. Shot up. And good. With 1 second to go. Portland calls time. Embiid with a floating turnaround to give the Sixers the lead. And a deafening roar here in Philadelphia.
Dude, that's very good, Ray. Very good. I love you ending with the Kobe shot, too.
It's a beautiful
from
shot.
From last Friday night. That was Kobe-esque. That was incredible. Kyle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. What do you say, brother?
Ah, man, it's a beautiful day out. Sixers are rolling. I couldn't be more happier, man. I just wanted to piggyback on the same old Sixers, man. I'm with you, though, because I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. These guys are playing so well. One of the two hot teams, along with the Bucks. You know, we got a trip coming up here. Actually, the remaining schedule is hard, and we got two big time games: the Celtics and Milwaukee. We got to win both of them. I think we could go for the number one seed.
I feel, and maybe we are, drinking Kool-Aid. I don't think so. I see something different. I do. Yeah, I don't think this is last year. First of all, Harden looks completely different than he did last year.
Completely. Yeah, I agree. The eye test tells me they look different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just hope I'm not a sucker like you called it.
I know.
They always get to the playoffs, and it's like we get hype, and it's like, what the
heck? That's what the guru says. The guru chimes in and giving you that, it's same old, same old. This is the pattern. See, you could say, well, I expect them to beat up bad teams. Well, all right. Well, anybody can expect that. But if you actually watch how they're playing differently.
Yes.
And that's my argument. I don't know what the result's going to be. But if they can somehow get this 2 seed, they could beat Boston. And that's what it's going to come down to.
I agree. Yeah. They have a great shot. Better than any year, I feel. So, but, hey, the main reason why I won.
Yeah, bro.
I got a little feel-good story here. So I got an 8-year-old girl, just started playing basketball this season. I'm a big basketball guy myself, played out high school the whole 9 yards. I still play here now at 34 years old. And she got a best friend. Her dad is like one of my best friends, grew up with me too. My birthday is on March 25th, and his little girl, his birthday is on the 28th. So we're going to the Mavs and the Sixers game. We just ended our season yesterday. We had a double elimination championship over the weekend. We won one, and we came into the game.
Ah, dude, really? Yeah.
We came into the tip already with a loss. It was double elimination. This team was undefeated. We took one from them on Saturday. We lost last night or yesterday, so we ended up losing the whole thing. But the girls just, like, fell in love with the game.
That's awesome, man.
We're taking it to the Mavs game to, kind of solidify the season. It would be the first ever game. They're 4 years old, and we're trying to get on the floor and do
that. That's cool. That would be awesome. I'll tell you what. Listen, like I said earlier, you're going to be qualified, all right? So you're going to hold on. And everybody that calls today that has relevant conversation will be qualified to win tickets at Knockout, all right? I mean, that's a promise. I wanted to do it as fair as possible. So I kind of wanted to give everybody a chance since, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. All right. And again, Knockout, which is great, is March 29th. You go see Sixers Mavs, head down to the court after the game. You're going to play around Knockout, and it's all being brought to you by Ferguson HVAC, your Delaware Valley Train heating and air conditioning distributor. Visit train.com to find a Train HVAC dealer near you. Let's go to John in Westchester. Johnny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew Ray, how are you?
What's going on, John? What do you say, buddy?
I got to tell you, I'm still laughing about the guy who wanted to revisit the Foles-Wentz controversy. I think I figured it out. I think shortly after the Eagles' Super Bowl victory in 18, he probably was cryogenically frozen and just kind of floated out over the weekend, like the beginning of the Austin Powers movie. He just needs some reorientation to modern-day issues in terms of sports. he probably has a series of opinions about prior deals. You know, he would want to talk to you about the Sandberg trade. We didn't get enough.
Yeah.
And he probably believes that the Sixers didn't get enough for Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah. Unreal. You know what the best was? Like, I gave him a couple minutes. I gave him like 90 seconds to indulge him, but he still would argue. And I'm going, dude, nobody's doing that. So what are we doing here?
Like a dog with a bone.
Yeah.
Man, let it go. But anyway, I enjoyed your commentary about this year's NCAA tournament, something missing. And I think it's the portal, man. And I think that in terms of building a program, establishing players that you become familiar with over time, there's a lot to be said for that. And I think it's part of the reason maybe down the line Jay Wright was taking a look at things and said, mm-hmm. you know, maybe his way of doing things with Villanova, building that culture, wasn't going to be the way it was. Teams can improve themselves instantly now. You know, you get a couple of disgruntled kids, big high school stars, they're not playing, you bring them in, you improve your team, you know, and they move on.
And so, how about the NIL money, which also makes for, you know, that's the other thing. And you know, it's crazy. I mean, think about it, John. So not just baskets, but look at football. Look at the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks in college football, they all move. Like if they're not playing and they're a sophomore and they don't play their sophomore, boom, they move and they'll go somewhere else.
What better example than that is our own hero, Hurts. He went from Alabama, went to Oklahoma, and fared pretty well. Came out second round pick. He's a top quarterback now.
That's
anyway. Enjoy your show, Jeff.
All right, hold on one second, brother. We'll put you in the running for the knockout tickets. Yeah, the portal for college football. We have the draft coming up. The portal for college football is insane.
Crazy right now.
Did you see the type of movement?
Oh, the numbers. I mean, it's a new record every day at this point for basketball and for football.
But football, it's I mean, first of all, because of the NIL money,
mm-hmm.
and then you got... You know, everybody's in play. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, everybody's in play in the portal.
It's crazy. And I think the football side of this conversation also, when we're talking about college basketball, the focus money-wise and conference changing and players change, like the way everything's shifted football-wise, where, you know, you listen back to some of those 70s, 80s, before you get the massive TV deals you got right now, I think that's also a part of the play of what's happened to college basketball, where the money is so focused on football and the conferences go football and everything athletic department-wise, a lot of these blue bloods, no matter if they were big football schools or not, have to pay attention now to football because it's such a moneymaker that basketball kind of gets lost in the second place, but a far second place to what football does for an athletic program.
Yeah, it's wild. It really is. It was funny. I was having a conversation with Matt Rule, who's Matty's now in Nebraska, and you know that's a huge program, and trying to rebuild the whole thing, and it's incredible. Like he's rebuilding. It's almost like the NFL, except with you know kids in this window.
Yeah, I mean
you need there's almost like a salary cap. The whole it's because of the NIL. It's wild.
And even the difference from when he left to go to Carolina first coming back now in Nebraska, like the difference in college football over those couple of years is wild. Insane.
I know. It's pretty nuts. All right. So here's the question. Now the question are the Sixers different? And do you believe? And I started the show off by saying that this is why I think this is a different team and this run is different. And right away I got pushback from the guru who has been consistent, I'll give him that, in not believing. And I'm curious to see where you guys are at. Also, we always do the top five. I need your top five sports TV.
Ooh.
All right, your top five TV shows because sports, though,
right?
Because I think Lasso is the best one there ever.
Wow,
I know. I'm trying to think of a better. I'm trying after watching it yesterday again. going back into it, I don't see a better show out there.
I mean, I was disappointed. I thought episodes 1 and 2 of the new season came out last night. I finished episode 1, and I was sitting there like, what?
I didn't touch the new season.
Oh, I went first episode.
Yeah. I wanted to rewatch it.
I rewatched some, too. Yeah. I have to. It's so good. The dart scene, my favorite.
Yeah, it's the best. It really is. It's fantastic. All right, we're going to come back. 610-632-0975. I want to know where give me your top five, all right? I want to know your belief in the Sixers. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio. My man Ray Ray is in for the Tunis. That you also have a Turner thing that we played earlier that later on you got to listen to. That was awesome, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? It's been weird with Turner. We have not. It's almost like we can't wait to open the present up. You know, we haven't had the chance to talk about it.
I can't wait. It's like Christmas morning. Wait for opening day for me. This is like the longest Christmas Eve ever for me. Watching Turner in the World Baseball Classic. I just want to see him in pinstripes at Citizens Bank Park at this point. Please get me there. Get me to opening day.
I like you geek out like the way I do.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh yeah.
All right. It fit in right with me and Tunis.
Yeah.
It's good.
Just a bit.
All right, 610-632-0975, Cuz Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.